Hello, and welcome to the 13th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFD1Mike, and today I am joined by Kevin, Professor Bosque Dog, as usual. We will be discussing the Snorks. So how have you been this week?
I've been good. First full week of students at school, so we're back in the swing of things.
Who are the heathens?
It's basically the calm before the storm, because this next week... obviously, we have the second full week of school, which means we're going to be actually getting into the books and whatnot. And then I will be closing on my house on Thursday and moving the next weekend. So my life's about to get real hectic for about the next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, I think just as a programming note to everybody, I do not think that we will have an episode next Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday. Not the 29th, the 30th, or... Christ, I don't even know. The 25th, 24th? Like, I don't know.
26th is a Wednesday.
Yeah, 26th, we will have episode 13. The 2nd of September, we will not have an episode, just so Kevin can kind of get his stuff handled and whatever else, and we will be back on the 9th of September with episode 14.
I will definitely be without a computer for a couple days. I'm going to save it to the last. Actually, I'm going to clear out my entire apartment, except for my computer, yeah, until the last possible minute, because I can't function without a computer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. This week for me has been okay. It's, you know, there's nothing really major going on. Whatever. I still haven't gotten the Darkwing Duck Volume 1 set, so when we return in 2 weeks, or a week, or however the hell long it's going to be, not sure if it's going to be Darkwing Duck, not sure if it's going to be Jim and the Holograms, I just don't know. It just depends on between now and the 9th of September if that DVD set gets to me. Because I can't just review Darkwing Duck on just the second volume DVD set. Sorry.
That would be truly outrageous.
No.
Somebody out there got that reference.
I guess. Freaking Batman, the Brave and the Bold. Ugh, God.
What's that?
Nothing. Anyway, and also, I guess we should let everybody know, Mr. Kenny wasn't feeling that well, Larry Kenny, so we did not get to do the interview tonight. We were originally going to do the interview plus this episode when we record Sunday. Unfortunately, he was not feeling very well, so we hope that he gets better, and I'm sure he will get in contact with us whenever he's able to again. I think I can speak for the two of us. We're both still looking extremely forward to that interview.
Yeah, that'll be awesome to talk to the man behind the Silverhawks voices.
Excuse me?
What's that?
The hell is wrong with you? He's Lion-O from the Thundercats.
Oh, I thought he was Bluegrass from Silverhawks.
Yeah, he is Bluegrass, but Bluegrass is secondary. Lion-O would kick Bluegrass's ass.
Nah, Bluegrass would play a tune and drive Lion-O crazy.
Oh, no. So, anyway, we're going to get into our show topic today, which is the Snorks. We will be right back with the... Crap, I don't even know. Wow, episode 13 is not really starting out so well, is it, folks?
Come along with the Snorks. Swim along with the Snorks. So much to see waiting for you and me. Have some fun with the Snorks. Play along with the Snorks. Sing along with the Snorks. Happy we'll be. If you could breathe underwater, where would you go? If you had friends underwater, who would you know? Come along, sing along, swim along too.
It is now time for the history lesson. Take it away.
Alright, nerds, this is Professor Boss K-Dog, and it is in time for another history lesson for episode 13. We visit a cartoon series that was based on a Belgium comic book in which the leading characters use their names as adjectives in every other sentence. A repeat show on Tooncast talking about Smurfs 2 weeks in a row, you may be asking yourself? No. For episode 13, we're talking about those Smurf imitators. Basically, take a Smurf, stick a snorkel on his head, put him underwater, and force him to replace the word Smurf with the word snork when he speaks. And you've got the basis for today's episode, The Snorks. Snorks is an animated television series produced by Hanna-Barbera Productions, which ran on NBC from 1984 to 1989, and also in syndication. Freddy Monnickendam of Belgian character licensing firm SEPP originally developed the Snorks concept in 1982 as a new franchise which could hopefully equal the success of the Smurfs, and at the same time be free from the creative and legal problems that had arisen between SEPP and Peyo over the Smurfs license. Belgian comics artist Nick Broca created the original character's designs. Unfortunately, the Snorks never became as successful of a franchise as the Smurfs. Though the cartoon was relatively successful and has a considerable fan following, the characters never became the merchandising success that they had hoped for. Snorks lasted a grand total of 65 episodes, and it is time to move on to the rest of the episode, so this has been the Professor, and class is dismissed.
You dumb bastard. It is now time for the General Memories segment. And people may be wondering why I called Kevin a dumb bastard at the end of the history lesson. I'm sorry, the Snorks, although they are similar to the Smurfs, they had better personalities. They may have not have had as many stories or episodes as the Smurfs, but I liked them, watching them on Boomerang this week. I could actually sit through a Snorks episode before I could ever sit through any of the Smurfs episodes.
I'll give you credit that the characters in Snorks have better personalities than the characters on Smurfs. I'm not arguing that point. I think you're absolutely 100% correct on that one. But, like all the listeners know, Snorks is imitating the Smurfs. And is a ripoff. But I do give you a little credit that it probably is more watchable than the Smurfs nowadays, to a point.
It's very, very much so. I love it. I mean, I didn't really follow the entire show as a kid, but I watched, you know, episode here or there, really. I was more... But by the time it ran from 86 to 89, I believe.
You were not paying attention in the history lesson very much, sir.
I guess not.
84 to 89.
Okay, 84 to 89. I was 2 years off. 84 to 89. During that time, I was more focused on stuff like He-Man, Thundercats, Voltron, Transformers, and eventually, once 1987 hit, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, stuff like that. But I do remember watching these. I always associated this and the Smurfs along with the other quote-unquote kiddie cartoons, like Scooby-Doo and all that other happy Hanna-Barbera crap.
Did you just say Hanna-Barbera crap?
Yes, but I say it lovingly.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
I don't say it in any bad way at all.
I was going to say we're going to have to completely rethink this Hanna-Barbera spotlight.
No. And that's not until like 40 or 50 anyways. So
it's not until 3 years from now anyways.
three years, yeah, right. I seriously doubt Tooncast will go 3 years. Anyway, the Snorks, I could associate more with each one of the, and I mean, we'll get to this when we get into the character stuff, but as far as the general memories, I could associate more with these characters and with, you know, like All-Star and Casey and even Junior. And I will fully admit that it seems to be a sort of ripoff of the Smurfs because you have kind of the same characters. I think the only two that really are similar to me is Junior and Brainy. And Brainy Smurf. The others, they all seem to be individual. They didn't seem to be archetypes of, like, Handy Smurf or Grouchy Smurf or, you know.
No, I don't think they were trying to imitate the characterizations or the plots or anything like that. It's just the basic premise, yeah, which is completely a ripoff, but...
a lot of things were doing that back then. I mean, like we said in last week's episode, there wasn't just one cartoon that was trying to imitate or use the model that the Smurfs used and you know, make it successful with their own version. There was, you know, there's five or six other cartoons doing the same thing. Snorks might have been the best at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, some of the other ones were all right, but I think Snorks was the one that most successfully took that same model and ran with it. And I think one reason why you're saying that you can personalize more with the characters in Snorks, and maybe possibly why it's more watchable for you now, is, as well as me, is because the Smurf characters, I think, were meant to be drastically younger than the Snorks characters. I mean, All-Star is supposed to be like a high schooler, whereas Smurfs seem to be more juvenile, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about the Snorks. I do remember watching them. I remember the theme song. I remember the look of the characters and you know, them being underwater and whatnot. It wasn't a show like you. It wasn't a show that I watched a lot. I probably didn't catch, you know, even half of the 65 episodes. And if you were to ask me, I guess one thing that separates Smurfs and Snorks, for obvious reasons, is the amount of time it was on the air and the amount of episodes you had. And if you asked me, just like you would ask other people that grew up in the 80s to name a Smurf character, they're going to come up with at least two or three. You ask them to name a Snork character, I would venture to say most people aren't going to come up with any.
Well, I severely disagree with that, because even before I even found it on Boomerang, or even before I even knew what Boomerang was, before, like right when Cartoon Network broke off and started Boomerang for all the classic cartoon shows, I remember Snorks. I remember All-Star. I remember Junior. I remember Casey. I remember Daphne.
I think you're in the minority, though.
Shut the hell up.
Just saying, if you ask someone to say to mention a Smurf, they're going to give you Gargamel, Azrael, Smurfette, Papa Smurf.
Yeah.
You know, they might not be able to give you too much after that, but maybe. But I'm going to ask all my friends. I doubt anybody can even give me All-Star.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see in 2 weeks. Like, yeah, you know, this show for me, it was, you know, the overall premise, I will agree, is basically Snorks underwater, or Smurfs underwater, but...
And in different, better colors.
Yeah, exactly. They're not all blue. but I really enjoyed this a lot more as a kid, and even now, you know, like I said, I can actually sit through an episode of this more than I can sit through an episode of the Smurfs. Hell, just this morning when I woke up, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, or 9:30, I think it was, I always, as soon as I turn my TV off, whatever time I go to sleep, I always leave it on Boomerang, because that's what I want to, you know, end up starting my next day on is cartoons instead of, you know, depressing news. Anyway, and an episode of the Smurfs was on. It was one of the ones with Johan and Pee-wee or whatever the hell their names are, and I'm like, oh, God, what's on HGTV? But, you know, anyway, overall, you know, Snorks is really great for me. As a kid and now, I wish that there were Snork DVDs. I don't think there are any yet, but I wish.
No, there aren't.
I wish that there would be.
It was okay for me as a kid. It was nothing like what Smurfs was for me as a kid. And I would have to watch both of them kind of back to back and do a little investigating to tell you which one I like better now. As of, you know, just watching a few episodes of each one, they're both kind of the same for me right now. But Smurfs obviously has a, you know, a bigger place in my childhood, so I tend to put it a little bit above.
Yeah. See, I always remember them airing back to back. Now, people can email in gcrntooncast@gmail.com, or they can check us out on Twitter and let us know, but I always remember Smurfs and then airing right behind it, Snorks.
I think once Snorks went into syndication, not when they were originally on, but I think once they went into syndication, a lot of outlets started airing them back to back. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But that doesn't usually happen.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Hasn't happened yet, but we'll keep waiting for it.
It will. It will, trust me. Anyways, we're going to move on. It is time now for the characters and voice actors. You know, I don't think that there's probably any cartoon that we will review here on Tooncast where we absolutely hate the voice cast. Whether it's the 80s shows or it's 90s shows, it, you know, just...
There will be ones that we hate individual voice actors.
Well...
Maybe not the whole cast as a crew.
It's not our fault. Tooncast is not responsible for your hatred of Lynn Lipton.
Or the entire Dexter's Lab.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeff Bennett was in that, damn it. Anyway.
Oh, he's alright.
Anyways, so, you know, going into the characters, apparently for the third season, which premiered in syndication in 1987, several changes were made to the series. The character Demi Finster was written out of the storylines, and three new characters were introduced: Corky, the Snork Patrol officer, and the series' new chief villains, Big Weed, and his sidekick, Lil Seaweed. Also, there were some episodes which take place on dry land, and later episodes run in two parts. I must have caught this show in syndication and not caught any of the earlier first and second season episodes, because I ever remember not having Big Weed and Stinkweed, or Big Weed and Little Seaweed, as I don't ever remember them not being there. Getting into the characters here for the Snorks, we have All-Star Seaworthy, voiced by Michael Bell. An athletic, yellow-skinned male snork, more or less the hero of the series, as well as being athletic and heroic, he's interested in science and also an inventor. He helps his uncle, Dr. Galio, with his projects whenever he can. Whenever he has an important idea or comes to an important conclusion, the star on his belt buckle starts to spin. His Starbright idea is believed to be Casey's... He is believed to be Casey's love interest. In the later seasons, his parents have a baby girl named Small Star, who becomes All-Star's infant sister. He used to be best friends with Junior. Again, Michael Bell. Majority of his voices... No, wait. The majority of his voices are pretty much his own voice.
Yeah.
He doesn't really change it up too much, but... Again, stellar casting.
See, he's like one of the people that creates an issue for me, because I'm torn. Like, you have some characters that, or I'm sorry, some voice actors that can change their voice so incredibly that makes them a good voice actor. Mm-hmm. And then you have some people that just naturally have a good voice acting voice, but then use it for every character. And I'm not sure, you know, if that makes him... I mean, he has one of the most remarkable voices in the voice acting business, but I would like to see him just do something different every once in a while, because for me, watching this, it's like watching Duke talk to Donatello, and I'm always thrown off. I'm like, why is Duke and Donatello look so funny? But anyway.
Yes, Casey Kelp, who is voiced by B.J. Ward, which I did not know she was voiced by B.J., who also did Princess Allura in Voltron. A light and adorable pink-skinned female snork with reddish hair and generally believed to be All-Star's love interest. She is intelligent, brave, and strong-willed. She dislikes bullies or being bullied and will stand up for herself as well as others. She is best friends with Daphne Gilfin. I always thought, when I was younger, Casey and Daphne were having a war against each other for All-Star's affection, to be honest. But I did like Casey better than Daphne. Daphne was almost always stuck up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and again, B.J. Ward. And just female voice actors in general. You know, it's just amazing the range that they can do.
Yeah. Then we had Junior Wentworth, which was voiced by Barry Gordon, who did Donatello in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One of the primary protagonists of the series, an orange-skinned male snork with bluish hair, who's a nice and spoiled snob, and also more or less generous in some... most episodes that take... After his parents, especially his father, the governor of Snorkland, Before Bigweed became the villain in Season 3, Junior was seen as minor villain-like due to his rude attitude toward other snorks, especially All-Star and his friends. His ambitions are to become the governor, like his father, to become rich, and to outperform All-Star in everything. Usually learns his lesson at the end of the episode. He takes after Grandpa Wentworth. Junior used to be best friends with All-Star when he was younger and starting off in school, until standing up for himself went to his head. He used appeared to be Daphne's love interest from the third season.
Yeah, Junior, I saw more of a villain than anybody else. Just because, I mean, I know that they will go back at the end of the episode and redeem him somehow, but I always thought of Junior as the bad seed out of the entire group of snorks. And again, it's, you know, Barry Gordon who voices him, who also did Donatello.
Did a pretty good job with that character.
Oh yeah, very, very much so. And then you have Tutor Shelby, voiced by none other than Frank Welker. Speaking of Mr. Welker, how is that page coming along over at behindthevoiceactors.com?
I'm sitting still at, I think, 169 credits because I have to take a little hiatus from what I was doing over there to pack up my apartment, but I'll be getting back to that probably in about 10 days.
Slacker. A green-skinned male snork with dark green hair who could only communicate through tooting. He has the ability to communicate with some of the sea life.
Which obviously is why Frank Welker is doing his voice.
Yeah. His parents, I remember watching this, not recently, but a couple of months ago on Boomerang. I saw the episode where, you know, gave his backstory and stuff. His parents do talk, but something happened with it. It's probably a birth defect or something. I don't remember. Where he can only toot, and, you know, it gives a better appeal to the group. Again, all of these characters, all of the snort characters, are so individual. I mean, Smurfs are basically copycats of each other. Anyway, so I guess we can move on to Daphne.
Daphne was the vain, coral-colored female snork, voiced by Nancy Cartwright, with purple hair, who is always concerned with her looks and appears to be Demi's love interest. She has ambitions of becoming an actress. In one of the episodes, she understudies for a famous female Broadway theater actress from New Snork City and becomes the star of the show. She is known for having a big heart and for being extremely tactful, especially when it comes to breaking bad news to others. She is best friends with Casey Kelp, and she used to appear to be Junior's love interest from the third season.
I didn't like Daphne too much. You could take her and the other Daphne from Scooby-Doo, knock their heads together, and you'd have the same character. Mm-mm. Seriously. You can take the next one there.
We got Demi Finster, voiced by Brian Cummings, an athletic orange-skinned male snork who seems to have a crush on Daphne. He fancies himself to be a comedian as well as a fighter, which is kind of odd. He also appears to have an insatiable appetite. Whenever Demi talks, it sounds like he has a cold. He hates being called by his full name, and from the beginning of Season 3, he is written out of the storylines.
I don't ever remember this character.
Nor do I, but I don't remember any of the characters, so...
Well, but, I mean, I don't ever remember seeing him at all. Aki, who is voiced by Frank Welker, All-Star's male red pet octopus. He is once owned by Junior until he abandoned him. Aki does not get along with Junior whatsoever and will go out of his way to embarrass or chase Junior. Aki is so cool. Aki, even though he's an octopus, he's like a dog. No, seriously, he growls just like a dog. He's just so cool. And again, Welker with just his. This is the cartoon here where Mr. Welker can express himself just through sound effect. That's how good this man is, ladies and gentlemen.
I do have Tutor and Aki both credited to him on that page, though, in case anyone wants to see what they look like.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And Corky, I'm going to take this one. Corky, voiced by Rob Paulsen.
An
orange-skinned male snork. He's the snork patrol officer and a workaholic, but a dedicated policeman and defender of Snorkland. He is liked by all snorks and gets along with All-Star and his friends.
Yes. And then you have Jojo, who is voiced by Roger DeWitt. a male tan-skinned two-snort snork who was raised and lives in the wild. He is the snork equivalent of Tarzan. He's incredibly strong and can communicate with all sea life. JoJo isn't very good at grammar. JoJo was a character that came into the group late. They actually found him in the wild, and or in the wild sea life or whatever, away from Snorkland. And they made friends with him. I think they saved his life or something, All-Star and his friends, and he's become a part of the group. And then you have Fengi, a dogfish, which is JoJo's companion since he was a child, which apparently he has no voice actor. it's probably Frank, but whatever. Then you have Willie Wentworth, voiced by Frederico Weber. I think I said that right. Mm-hmm. Orange-skinned infant male snork. Even though Junior picks on him, Willie looks up to his big brother, Junior. He is the opposite of Junior, nice, friendly, generous, and well-liked by all. He is friends with Small Star and takes after Grandpa Wentworth. I don't ever remember this one. I don't know. I don't ever remember Junior's baby brother.
I don't either.
I don't know. Go ahead and take the governor.
We got the governor, Wentworth, voiced by Frank Nelson and later Barry Gordon, an orange-skinned male snork with lavender-colored hair. Nice combination there. He is the governor of Snorktown. He's a stereotypical politician that resorts to double talk, tries to abuse his power, blames others when things go wrong, sends others to do work while he tries to take the credit, cowardly, thinks of himself first, and a social climber who thinks that he and his family are better than others. He's also an egomaniac, in case you didn't figure that out yet, who raises taxes in order to build monuments to himself, all of which causes him to be disliked by the majority of snorks. He's Junior and Willie's father, so we can see where Junior gets it from. He wants Junior to succeed and be governor to the extent that he turns a blind eye to Junior's underhanded tricks until they cause trouble or are exposed. He doesn't like Dr. Galio, All-Star, and his friends because they're in the spotlight more than his son. He secretly has an older brother, Captain Long John, who is a kindly old pirate and is friends with All-Star and Casey, and that's just great. Captain Long John.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. And then just rounding out the main snorks, Dr. Galio, seaworthy, voiced by Clive Reville, a purple-skinned male snork with white hair. He's involved in all things scientific, medical, and technical. He has saved Snorktown numerous times from villains and natural disasters. He is All-Star's and Small-Star's uncle and a friend to All-Star's gang. He is a brother to All-Star's father, as in the episode A Hard Day's Snork, he reveals his last name is Seaworthy. When he meets with his old classmate, Rip Van Snorkel, in the belly of predatory piperfish, he is also the brother of Dr. Strange Snork. You have Small-Star Seaworthy, voiced by Gail Mathis. Wow. Huh. The yellow-skinned infant female snork. She is All-Star's baby sister and friends with Willie. I'm just going to list these. I really don't think there are any that we really need to mention as far as the supporting ones. I don't see any here that we need to mention. Then we can go into the villains. You have Mr. Seaworthy, who was voiced by Bob Holt. Mrs. Seaworthy, who was voiced by Edie McClurg, which, wow, I did not know that. Mrs. Kelp. Auntie Marina, Mrs. Wentworth, and Grandpa Wentworth. And then Mrs. Seabottom, who was voiced again by Edie McClurg, and Snip and Snap. Oh, okay. I don't remember them either. So, going into the villains... Hey.
I'm getting a sense that you don't read these things before we air.
Not at all. I skim over them, see if there's anything wrong in them, and then just...
Oh, okay.
Anyways, going into the villains...
We got Bigweed, voiced by, again, Michael Bell, who eventually is the main villain of the series. He is supposed to be an evil, green, seaweed-like creature with magical abilities. Bigweed can magically disguise himself to look like a snork or any form of sea life. Yes. And I assume this is the villain that you remember.
Yeah, Bigweed is the one I remember. Between Bigweed and the Snork Eaters are the two main villains that I remember outside of Junior. And you have Little Seaweed, voiced by B.J. Ward, Bigweed's female sidekick, also an evil green seaweed-like creature with magical abilities. She is supposed to have the same magical abilities as Bigweed, but on a diminished scale. She's about the same age as All-Star and his friends. Later on, Little Seaweed is forced by Snorktown Social Services to attend school in Snorktown because of her age. Wow, I did not know that. Then you have Doctor Strange Snork Seaworthy, voiced by...
Rene Avergiannis?
Yeah, there you go. Purple-skinned male snark with white hair that has a black lightning-shaped streak going down the center. He's a villainous, forgetful, absent-minded scientist that can't remember his own name at times. He wants to take over Snorktown, which he attempted to do so by swapping his mind with Governor Wentworth's. He is jealous of his brother, Dr. Galio, and wants to get revenge upon him and his nephew, All-Star. And then Phineas? I don't even remember Phineas. I guess we can mention, for supporting villains, the great Snork Nork, voiced by Frank Welker. He is a purple and indigo-colored male snork. Unlike the other snorks, his snork is on the front of his face and facing down, not on the top of his head. He is the snork's equivalent of Dracula and the Prince of Darkness. The Prince of Darkness fans refer to him as Count Snorkula. Oh, God. He sleeps upside down, hanging from the ceiling just like a bat, and has fangs. He has magical abilities and is able to hurl electrical bolts from his hands. He hates sunlight and bright light, avoiding it at all costs. He is an evil vampire villain that wants to take over Snorktown and is always accompanied by two sidekicks. His sidekicks are miniature versions of him, minus the magical abilities. They are purple and coral colored. I guess you can take the Snork Eaters.
The Snork Eaters are large red creatures that are known to prey off of snorks. They are led by a snork eater named Spike. The only thing that scares them are... fish is called Snork Eater Eaters, that's very creative, which are tiny fish with enormously large mouth. However, King Neptune has the power to banish Snork Eaters.
Yes. And then you have Weed and Wood, who are big weeds, two minor sidekicks. King Neptune, just supporting character. King Neptune, a mythological figure from Greek mythology and Roman mythology that is the ruler of the seas. He is portrayed as a merman who controls the rise and falls of the tides with a magical conch shell. Most snorks believe King Neptune was a myth until he appeared after losing his magical conch shell, which Willy later finds. Going into the voice actors, wow. This cast, you got Michael Bell, Frank Welker, B.J. Ward, Rob Paulsen, Barry Gordon. Just amazing. And then just for additional voices, which I don't even know what additional voices they used for this, you got Cam Clark, Peter Cullen, Jim Cummings. Who else is on here? Alan Oppenheimer. Just, again, a stellar voice cast. And I
thank goodness, because if they didn't have this voice cast, yikes. No, that's one of the good things about the show. I'll give it credit for that. The voice acting in this show is good. If you watch an episode of it today, nowadays, you'll be, impressed by the voice cast. It does a good job. It's another example of why 80s cartoons rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the most part.
Oh, yeah. I can't say enough good things about this show. I just can't.
You can.
No, this is a complete role reversal from last week to this week. I hated the Smurfs and I love the Snorks.
I don't hate either one and I don't love either one, but Smurfs is definitely better.
What? You're wrong.
Nope. It never happened.
Yes, it will.
No, put this up to a poll. See who likes the Smurfs better or the Snorks better. You'll lose that one in a flame.
Oh, no. We're not putting it up to a damn poll.
Because you're afraid you're going to be wrong. Anyway.
Like I told you before, I can just, add more fake screen names and just
there you go.
Vote my way. I can be all evil political guy and swing the vote my way. Anyway, do we have anything else to say as far as the... voice actors.
No, good actors, good characters, only good thing about the show. No, I'm just kidding.
We should mention really quick, I guess they could have gone into the legacy segment, but it was under the voice actors when I copied the information. Michael Bell reprises his role of All-Star Seaworthy in the Family Guy episodes Brain the Bachelor, while Nancy Cartwright voiced Casey Kelp. The Snarks were parodied in the Robot Chicken episode Werewolf vs. Unicorn. A segment shows a snark blowing into another snark, causing that snark's head to explode.
See, they should have done that more in the cartoon.
God. Oh, Lord. On that note, we're moving on. Holy crap. It is now time for the behind-the-scenes segment. Just looking down this list, I don't recognize any of these producers. The directors, I should say.
I recognize Carl Urbano. He's done a couple other things in some of the other episodes that we've done. But yeah, you're right. There's not a whole lot of notable directors here.
Not as far as the directors. As far as the writers, holy crap. Alan Burnett, who did a lot of the BTAS DC Animated Universe shows. Tom Ruger, who we are all very familiar with.
This is very early in Tom Ruger's career.
Yeah, very, very early. And of course, Joseph, William Hanna and Joseph Barbera were the main producers. Just super, super awesome people doing this. Oh, and I forgot to mention in the voice actors thing, because I moved it up to there and I meant to mention it. The series casting was done by, again, Andrea Romano. Which, wow.
I think she was the only one doing stuff back then. there must not have been any competition whatsoever.
she knows her stuff. Do we have anything else? I know this could probably get really short, but I mean, I really don't have anything else to say about this.
No, not until they put some DVDs out. You'll get the behind the scenes whenever they decide to put DVDs out of this show, which I wonder, why haven't they put DVDs out of this show?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe maybe it's a rights thing like it is with Snorks. I don't know who actually owns like Snorks anymore.
Maybe it's just not good enough.
Shut the fuck up. Alright, we're moving on here. It is now time for the actual show. Wow, I remembered again. Yay. The show, let's see, the Snarks are a race of small, colorful, fictional beings that live happily in the underwater world of Snorkland. They have snorkels on their heads, which are used to propel them swiftly through the water. As evidenced by the cartoon series, when a snork becomes excited, their tube makes a snork sound. like the Flintstones or the Smurfs, they have much of the same technology as contemporary humans adapted to their own aquatic environment. The Snorks use clams as currency in reference to the slang word clam, meaning dollar. According to the Snork backstory, a few ventured to the surface. The Snorks believed it is outer space in 1643 and watched Royal Navy ship being attacked by pirates. The captain wound up in the water, and that was the first contact between the species when the Snork saved his life, to which the captain then expressed his gratitude by writing a book about the Snorks. Although very few humans believe in the existence of the Snorks, since then, Snorks have adopted several human habits, such as wearing clothes.
Underwater.
Yeah, I know. I know, but still, it's still cool.
Okay, come on. When the Smurfs do something unrealistic, you ripped on them. Now the Snorks are wearing clothes underwater, and you're letting it go.
We wear bathing suits when you go underwater in the ocean when you're swimming, right? Or you wear a diver's suit and a giant tank of oxygen when you go deep sea diving. So technically, it's not that far-fetched. Granted, the clothing.
They have books underwater.
Okay, I will give you like all of their environmental community type stuff is far-fetched, but the fact of wearing clothes underwater is not far-fetched.
It is one that's not stuck to your skin.
Oh, shut up.
When it's waving in
shut
the air.
Shut up.
The only thing about the actual... Well, not the only thing. Besides all these things that shouldn't be happening underwater. But I'm willing to suspend that because it's a cartoon, so I don't see the problem in that. The only reason I pointed that out was because of the problem you had with the Smurfs. But anyways...
I don't remember last week's episode, little...
The only thing that bugged me about the actual show, I mean, I like the show for the most part because of the voice acting, you know, I like the theme song and the music and some stuff like that, but what bugged me about the watching the show nowadays is the transitions they use in between scenes a lot of time. They use this little, like, wavy water type thing to transition from one scene to another, and it just drives my eyes crazy. I don't know if they do that on every episode, but they sure did it on every episode I've watched.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wish they would have done something different with the transition. Like, doing that once an episode might be all right, but when they do it, like there was one point where it was, like, within a minute they did it, like, four or five times, and I'm like, oh, my God, my eyes are going nuts. But that's the only little really drawback that I saw from the actual show.
Yeah, the only really drawback for me was probably some of these stranger villains. Like, okay, you know, sea life, like any other type of life, whether it be on land, on sea, whatever, there's always a bigger fish out there. So it would make sense for Snorks to have an adversary called the Snork Eater. You know, it's kind of like, you know, bigger fish meets the big fish or whatever. But some of the more stranger villains or the more weirder ones, I don't know, I just didn't really get. But overall, I think the show is really, really done well. Apparently we have no trivia errors or recurring themes because this show is awesome.
No, if it was awesome, it would have trivia.
Oh, shut up. So unless we have anything else, I think we can go ahead and go into something else here.
Yes.
Yes, we're moving on. It is now time for the music segment. Let's see. I guess I can go into this really quick. As far as series original music was done by White Curtain. And then you had there was a few people in the music department, none of which I really recognize at all. There are no soundtracks. I must say, when trying to find the theme song for this show, it was very, very hard.
Well, why didn't you just let me know? I could have given it to you.
Well, no.
Snorks did make an appearance on my CD. I actually like the Snorks theme song.
I'm not trying to interrupt. Well, I am trying to interrupt you, but I mean, the reason why it was hard for me to find, because the website that I go to get themes that I don't have DVDs for, it had like four different versions, and
yeah,
none of them were the version that I knew. So the version that you're going to hear for the intro and the outro is the 1989 version.
I wonder what version I have on. I have one of them on BehindTheVoiceActors.com. If you click on Snorks, it'll play you the theme song.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anytime you need a theme song, you should be asking me.
Well.
I am the theme song god. Come on.
Oh, Christ, you made the comment earlier on Skype when I asked you if you were ready or kind of excited or whatever for the now rescheduled Larry Kenny, and you're like, no, Tooncast's the last thing on my mind right now. So I'm like, you know, I try not to bother you week, seeing as how we record only once a week. But, no, it was like, you know, I mean, they're all there, and I'm like, okay, well, it's got to be all the same song. Clicked on one. Nope, that's not the one I remember. Clicked on the other one. Nope, that's not it. I had to go through, like, three versions before I found the actual version that I remember, which is the, whatever the theme song is, it wasn't syndication. Everybody will remember it once I play it through the... yeah, whatever that is. Overall, as far as the music for this, I really don't have that much to say about it. I mean, outside of the theme song being really cool, there really isn't that. I mean, this isn't one of those musically driven shows.
No, not at all.
This isn't like Thundercats where you have themes for every single thing.
And it's not like a lot of the other shows where you have actual musical numbers or songs within the show either. Like you have with, you know, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, or, you know, some of those other ones.
Yes, and I think since this segment is running very, very short, we're going to go straight into the Legacy segment without...
Sounds good.
Yeah, because it's just not... 2 minutes for a segment is not good.
I do have two questions for you within the Legacy segment, though.
I have no information for the Legacy segment, though.
My first question is, where is Snorks rated in the IGN Top 100 Cartoons of All Time?
I don't know. That's the issue.
Oh, it's not rated.
Shut the
okay. Okay, second question. We talked last week about Smurfs and, you know, all their different awards that they were nominated and won. How many awards did Snorks get nominated for?
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay.
Fuck up.
Just proving a point, that's all.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't want it to, I should stop for a second. I don't want it to make, I don't hate Snorks. I don't want it to make it seem like that. I don't have anything against Snorks. I enjoyed the few episodes that I watched this week. It's a decent show. It's a good example of why 80s cartoons are better than most other decades, because this is not, I don't think you can argue with me on this one. This is not one of, like, the top tier cartoons of the 80s. I mean, you're not going to put this at the top of the, you know, top shelf of the best cartoons of the 80s. This is more of a secondary cartoon. And as a secondary cartoon, it's still way better than most, like, main cartoons of other decades.
Okay, take just 80s cartoons. I see stuff like He-Man and Transformers and Thundercats and Silverhawks, whatever, you know, stuff like that as adventure, action-adventure cartoons. And that's what they are.
Oh, yeah.
I see this as more of like a quote-unquote kiddie cartoon.
Right, but I'm saying even with it, you know, I'm not saying take away all genres and just and look at the ones that were the best cartoons of the 80s, the most popular, the most successful. You know, you're going to have all those ones you just mentioned. You're going to have, you know, Inspector Gadget, Muppet Babies. You're going to have Smurfs. Those are all, like, at the top of the list as far as 80s cartoons. Snorks is a great cartoon that is a secondary cartoon, which is a credit to the 80s overall, I think, because it would be a top cartoon in most other decades.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even take it a decade before, it would be, you know, right up there with, you know, I think it would be right up there with all the other Scooby-Doo type cartoons. But being in the decade that it was, it made it kind of in the shadow of some of these other cartoons. It kind of got lost in the hustle and bustle of so many other great cartoons, I think, which is too bad.
Right, but at the same time, that's what makes it so great. Not all cartoons have to have 256 episodes and one or been nominated for 7 or 8 awards.
Oh, of course not. Transformers only had 98.
Shut up.
Silverhawks only had 65.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the good thing about Snorks. It wasn't really a hidden gem, but at the same
time, kind of was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't really a hidden gem, but at the same time, it kind of was.
And it's
the reason why I say that it's not a hidden gem again is because of when it went into syndication. I remember watching it every Saturday morning or every whatever day it came on. I remember watching it right after Smurfs.
Yeah, and you would expect that a show like this that kind of got kind of lost in the shuffle, you would expect that it only lasted, you know, a little bit. But this show was on air for a good number of years. I mean, we're talking about, well, 4 or 5 years that it was on air. Yep. And, you know, that means it had to be something that was at least getting enough people to watch it that it was worth still airing, you know, after the first, second year.
Yep. So I think we are going to go ahead and go into the closing. It is now time for our final thoughts on the Snorks. I guess I'll let you go first.
All right. Great theme song. I mean, not one of the top 10 or anything, but real good theme song. Great voice acting. Good characters. Did I enjoy the few episodes that I watched this week? Yes. Is it worth giving a view if you're a cartoon fanatic or a cartoon fan? You know, yes, you should watch a few episodes of the Snorks if you've never done so before. Is it, in the grand scheme of things and in the history of cartoons, is it better than Smurfs? No way in hell.
And I completely disagree. It is way better than Smurfs.
You're the only one on the planet.
No, I'm not here to argue. No, seriously. I'm not here to argue and debate the differences, I mean, and the similarities between the two. You know, when I was a kid, I honestly thought it was Smurfs underwater. And I every now and then when I would, you know, see it, I'm like, oh wow, where's Papa Smurf? But anyway, you know, overall, it's a great cartoon. It holds up. A lot of stuff is probably dated as far as some of, not really the lessons, but as far as some of the stuff that the characters may talk about. Overall, I do agree with you. Great characters, great voice actors. It's just an overall awesome, awesome show. I believe, I'm trying to go into some, not really programming notes, but I'm trying to make an announcement here.
I was trying to decide when, what's going to happen when we actually have a cartoon that we agree on.
Shut the, what do you mean? We agree.
No, I mean, it's been a few. I know there was a bunch in the early on, but we've had a run here where we haven't agreed on much.
Well, it's only been three episodes.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's like I said to you off air, you know, would the listeners much rather hear a podcast where there's two robots agreeing with each other all the time? No.
You're not going to get that from me, that's for sure.
No, not at, nor from me. Hell no. Fuck the system.
So everybody go watch Smurfs and Snorks and email us which one you think is better.
Yes. Just as far as, I believe I've already mentioned this on air. I don't know if I have or not. I might have in another episode of ATTF. I might have done it in MR, I forget. Sometime next year in 2010, I am starting the Secret Origins podcast. It is dedicated to all 91 episodes of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Which, the only reason why I bring it up here is because I did not know this until I was watching an episode of it. Which one was it? Twilight. The Twilight two-parter that started out season two. Rob Paulsen is in that as Light Ray.
Hmm.
Anyways, so I guess we're going to go into the closing now. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways you can get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other GCRN podcasts there. The second is you can stop by predaconempire.com/cafespark and find, those are our forums, you can find all the GCRN/Transformers discussion topics there. The third is you can leave us feedback on iTunes. Please do this. We would love to get positive reviews from iTunes. That is the, honestly, that's the best way to help the show. You know, it, actually, we do have some reviews now. I believe we have four. I forgot we have three. And average out of five ratings, we have 5 stars for TuneCast. And I mentioned the other two. I will mention the there was a new one that was added. It just says, yeah, it's from Tater X. Another great show by the folks at Geekcast Radio. Listen to the He-Man and Thundercats episodes to get started. You know, the, honestly, like I say in all the outros for all the podcasts that we do, leaving us feedback in iTunes is the best way to help the show outside of giving us money. The fourth is you can visit the earth-2.net forums and find our threads for the shows under the self-promotion section. And the fifth is the email address, which is gcrntunecast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. The show name there is gcrntunecast. Mine is TFG1Mike. And what's your Twitter?
OSKDAWG.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish that you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on something. As I said before in the intro, we are going to be on a week's hiatus so Kevin can get himself settled into his new house.
Woo!
We may be reviewing Darkwing Duck. We may be reviewing Jim and the Holograms. I don't know. Hopefully my Darkwing Duck Volume 1 DVD will get here before we have to record again. So for now.
Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me sing Jim.
No, I don't think so. So for now, I am TF2 and Mike with.
Me.
Who are you?
Professor Boss K Dog, Optimus Solo, Kevin.
Yeah, singing the words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
Thank you all for being here today. I've called this press conference on behalf of myself, Ron Algar-Watt, and my co-creator, Matt Robotham, to inform you that once the current run of our award-winning webcomic, Vengeance of the Interman, is finished at the end of this year, we are hereby retiring from comics. No more webcomics for us. So that's why we brought you here, and we will now take your questions.
Al? There's no one here.
There's nobody here.
There's nobody here. Nobody read the comic.
Oh.
At all.
Oh.
Ever.
Well, we're doing a podcast now.
Yeah, we are doing a podcast now.
The Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com.